I appreciate the fact that Mel Medina has been waiting so patiently from the ACLU. Hello, Mr. Medina. You're the director for the Office of Public Policy there. Is that correct, Mr. Medina? Thank you for holding.
Of course, I am. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you well. Thank you very much for interrupting your day and coming on. Much appreciated. By the way, are you related to Max Medina, the attorney in Bridgeport? You related to him?
No. Okay. No, we just share the an awesome last name.
Okay. That's fine. Because I know Max, and I thought he was actually active in the ACLU, so I wasn't sure if maybe it was like a father-son or uncle-nephew or something like that. Anyway. All right. So Melvin, let me ask you this. Right now, I understand there's a public hearing coming up with respect to choosing a new inspector general. Tell us, what is that new office in Connecticut? What is it about?
Sure. So the Inspector General office in Connecticut will be a state's attorney or a prosecutor solely responsible for all use of force shootings or basically when any police officer, state or municipal police officer use deadly force. That office, the Inspector General, will be solely responsible for investigating those cases and making a determination about whether or not the police officers involved used a justified form of force. And if they didn't, if it's deemed that they didn't, that prosecutor then would be moving forward with criminal charges. And so what's changing in Connecticut is under previous law, state's attorneys, there are 13 state's attorneys, each covering a different district in Connecticut, were responsible for doing these investigations. What was written in that law was it had to be kind of an external state's attorney. So if a shooting happened in Bridgeport, for example, it would be the state's attorney in Waterbury that would investigate it. What we found is since 2001, of all the use of force cases that have gone on, only two out of, I believe, 89 cases have ever moved forward with criminal charges. And so what we have been finding over the years is that when law enforcement use force against members of the public, it is often very unlikely that state's attorneys are willing to move forward with criminal charges. The hope in this change, I think, is that giving this one state's attorney the sole responsibility of only doing the job of holding cops criminally responsible would in a way encourage the state's attorneys to be bold in their actions and defend the public's interest of not being harmed by police.
Okay, but let's be fair about it. In the vast majority of cases, it is probably true that a police officer firing their weapon is doing so, you know, justifiably. I mean, there obviously are cases in which it's not justifiable, but I mean, you're saying the hope is that they'll be prosecuting more. Isn't really the hope, Mr. Medina, that they'll look at something objectively, because we don't want police officers to not be doing their job?
That's a great point. So I think that you raise a great point about like talking about how do they make these determinations. So when a state's attorney, and in this case, the inspector general, will be determining when a police officer is using justified force, what they're using to make that determination is a state law. A state law that makes a determination about whether or not, as it's currently written, whether or not it's considered reasonable for a police officer to use a weapon and kill someone. There are a number of reasons why the existing use of force law that we have in Connecticut does not meet the standard of protecting everyone. And the reason is a reasonable standard does not consider a better standard, like, for example, ensuring that officers are only using deadly force when it is absolutely necessary. The standard does not meaningfully include a test of determining whether or not police officers used everything within their power to de-escalate the situation or find an alternative. And so if we're only going by the use of force statute as it is currently written, it is actually fairly permissive. And there are reasons that I think that originally was. And part of that was because obviously you want to ensure that when law enforcement are going out into the street, that they can do so confidently. But I think what we're finding now, especially in 2020, especially when you consider the movement to protect Black life, is that what we're seeing, not just in Connecticut, but across the country, is that you are seeing a growing number of cases in which predominantly people of color find themselves on the opposite side of a police officer's weapon. And though in those cases, it is often highly unlikely that prosecutors are willing to move forward and make the determination about, beyond reasonable, was it right to kill that person? And so I think that this new inspector general role does one of two things. The first is it creates a role where that's your sole job. So you don't have this issue of prosecutors having relationships with law enforcement because they have to do investigations together on other criminal matters. This is the only thing that they're required to do. I think the second thing that's unique about this inspector general role is that we will learn fairly quickly whether the issue in Connecticut had been the need for independence or whether what's continuing to get in the way of holding cops accountable when they unnecessarily kill people is the fact that our standard, that use of force standard, is weak and is not allowing for prosecutors to move forward strongly to protect the public's interest.
Well, let me ask you this. Who is going to be the inspector general? In other words, will it be somebody with a history in law enforcement?
Currently, as written, the law requires, as it was passed, that someone within the Division of Criminal Justice, so that's the agency in Connecticut where prosecutors work in, to be the inspector general. So the answer to that question of would they have law enforcement experience is yes.
That's good.
We do believe, however, that a better process, and we'll continue to advocate for this, is that the inspector general role should be open to any experienced and qualified attorney in Connecticut or in the country who wants to come to Connecticut and has experience in criminal law and is explicitly committed to protecting the public's interest of ensuring that municipal and state employees aren't unnecessarily killing the public.
I can see why you would argue that, but I think as a first step, the way the law is written is better that it come from law enforcement in Connecticut. It's going to be a very big adjustment. You're asking the police to now have somebody looking over their shoulders in a way that they're not used to. And I can understand why the ACLU would advocate for what you're advocating for, but I would prefer to see it start like this and see how it goes with the good faith of somebody occupying that office.
Yeah, I understand that point of view. I mean, one thing I'll for your listeners is what is shifting in Connecticut in terms of this idea of is this a completely new system? Not necessarily as it's currently written, right? It is likely to be an existing prosecutor that had been in the system doing the job of investigating police officers when they kill a member of the public. That's a process that already exists in Connecticut. The significant change, I think, would be opening it up to, outside perspectives, outside of just the a prosecutor's perspective, someone from the defense bar, for example, a criminal defense attorney who might come at this from a different perspective.
Or even a retired judge who wanted to come back and be an inspector general. I understand. Mr. Medina, I thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it. We'll keep an eye on what's happening. Thank you very much, Mr. Medina, from the American Civil Liberties Union of the State of Connecticut. We're going to have to go to some messages, and we're going to return with David Lehman, who is the chief honcho, the Office of Economic Development here in Connecticut, and the governor's right-hand guy when it comes to figuring out how we're going to restore and rebuild Connecticut's economy. So stay tuned for more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.